through my body, charging the knife with energy. The Tin Woodman was alone without his soldiers, without Dorothy and her magic. And he looked weakened. His metal body was battered. Several of the frightening instruments that had once tipped his fingers had been snapped off. He had a huge dent in the side of his face, stretching from his cheek to his forehead. The order had only charged me with killing Dorothy. There'd been no discussion of the Tin Woodman or any of her other cohorts. But they were all just as evil, weren't they? I hadn't been able to kill Dorothy. But if I was able to do away with the Tin Woodman, that would at least weaken her ability to torture some innocent people, right? I could do this. "Kill him, Amy," the wizard urged me. A wounded, betrayed look scrunched the Tin Woodman's features at the wizard's words. "I've told you what you need to do." I glanced over at the wizard and saw him weaving his hands through the air, but not to help me. Instead, he was building what looked like a glowing green force field around himself and Pete. Thanks, guys. Very chivalrous. The Tin Woodman, though, was focused only on me. He put his head down and charged, his axe extended in front of him. As he plowed forward, the axe transformed into a long, gleaming sword that almost seemed to be an extension of his body. I was ready for him. Just before he reached me, I blinked myself behind him, and he kept going, his momentum carrying him forward. He stumbled for a moment, almost falling, but then he recovered, pivoted, and in one swift motion, hurled his sword straight for me. As it flew through the air, it transformed again, this time into a flurry of knives. With a few lightning-fast flicks of my wrist, I was able to deflect most of them, but I felt one graze my cheek. Another plunged into my thigh. Without slowing down, I pulled it out, feeling the warm blood seep down my leg, and tossed it aside. With that and the wound across my abdomen, I was steadily turning into a real mess. My whole body was shooting with a throbbing pain, but I didn't care. I didn't feel weaker. I felt changed. Like I really had become something else. A warrior like Jelaya had been when she'd confronted Dorothy. Someone capable of taking the worst these assholes had to offer and then dishing it right back to them. The Tin Woodman was unarmed now. From his posture, it didn't look like he had much fight left in him. I launched myself into the air and leaned into a spinning kick that connected with his midsection. The Tin Woodman toppled into the grass, and I leapt on top of him. "His heart, Amy," the wizard hissed. "That's the only way." I lifted my knife into the air, letting it fill with heat until the blade glowed white hot. The magic was rich in this place. I felt supercharged, more powerful than I ever had before. Oz's natural mercurial energy flowing like water from the grass and the air and the earth and into my body, into my knife. The pain from my injuries was still there, but it was easy to ignore. "Please," the Tin Woodman wheezed. He was powerless now, his weapons gone, his arms pinned to his sides. His metal face looked frightened and pathetic. "Please," he repeated. "I know what I've done. I know I've betrayed the people of Oz. I only did it for her." A single tear rolled down his cheek. I remembered what the wizard said earlier. Dorothy's loyal companions are not quite what they used to be. Whether or not the rest of what he was telling me was a lie, that part was pretty obvious. And now, it seemed oddly relevant. The Tin Woodman's love had been twisted and perverted. It had turned into something ugly and evil. That doesn't just happen. Something had done it to him. I'd assumed it was Dorothy. But what if it was his heart itself? Well, maybe it was and maybe it wasn't. It didn't matter whose fault it was. It didn't matter about the why of it all. Life isn't fair. And I wasn't doing this for myself. I was doing it for Indigo, and for Maud, and for Jelaya, and for everyone else who had suffered because of Dorothy. People like Dorothy couldn't be allowed to run things. They didn't deserve a place like Oz. My knife crackled with blue energy as I plunged it down. It sank into the Tin Woodman like a needle puncturing a balloon. As I did it, his face collapsed in agony. He started to cry in earnest, sobbing really, his body heaving in pain. He began to look strangely human. "Please," he managed to spit out. "Please take pity on me." It was too late. I sliced diagonally across his chest and then drew the knife out, only to plunge it right back in, drawing an X along his left side with the blade. It made a satisfying hissing noise and met with almost no resistance. It was as simple as popping the top on a can of soda. In the end, he was only made of tin. His jaw continued to open and close, but he wasn't speaking anymore. I reached into the hole I'd just made and found his heart. It was soft and velvety, but a little slimy, too. I yanked it, and there was a snapping sound as it came free of the threads of artificial muscle that had held it in place. The Tin Woodman stopped moving entirely. His eyes were wide and bulging. His face frozen in place, now a record of his fear and pain. It reminded me of the statues in the sculpture garden in the palace. I held the heart in front of me. I had done it. It was glowing and glittering, pulsing in my palm. "Give it here, little dear," a voice said. "Don't you worry. Everything will be all right as long as you hand it over." I spun my head around in surprise and saw Glinda standing right behind me in her frilly pink gown. The only thing that suggested everything was less than perfect was the smeared crimson around her mouth. It could have been messily applied lipstick, but it looked an awful lot like blood. I jumped to my feet, still clutching the heart, and prepared to fight again. But before I could attack, a bolt of green lightning snapped through the air and hit Glinda right in the stomach. As she lurched backward, she pulled a wand tipped with a glowing star from her bodice. "Amy," the wizard shouted, "I'll hold off Glinda. Take Ozma. Ollie and Maud will take you to the rest of the monkeys." I whirled around. "Ozma?" And then I saw. The green bubble that the wizard had built around Pete to protect him was dissolving. And as it did, his body began to dissolve too. Where the mysterious gardener who was my friend had been just a moment ago, Oz's one true princess now stood. She blinked. "Amy," she said. "Amy, Amy,
Amy. Amy.
Just like I'd been hiding behind Astrid's face, Ozma had been hiding behind Pete's. Duck! The wizard screamed, and I reflexively followed his instructions just as a neon pink beam of magical energy crackled above my head. How? I started to say, staring at Ozma. But then the wizard sent another one of his bolts shooting for Glinda just as Ollie swooped down from out of the sky and scooped me into his arms, carrying me up and away. I looked over my shoulder and saw Maud carrying Ozma right behind us. On the ground, the wizard was locked in battle with Glinda. In the distance, the Emerald Palace was burning, alight with flames. I wondered if Nox was still in there. I wondered where Mombi and Glamora were. But what I really wanted to know as we soared into the clouds, the jeweled city burning below us, and the Tin Woodman's evil heart still pulsing in my hand, was where Dorothy was. I didn't know what was going on or where I was going, but I knew one thing. This wasn't over. Even if I had failed tonight, at least I was one step closer. No matter how long it took, no matter who I had to destroy first, Dorothy was going to die. This is Devon Sorbury. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Dorothy Must Die by Danielle Page. This program was produced by Elgin Productions. The director was John McElroy. Executive producer, Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright 2014 by Full Fathom 5, LLC. Production copyright 2014 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.